Evening. This is the Rochelle Sparrow Connection, and welcome once again. And I hope you are all having a wonderful evening tonight. I'd like to introduce my guest. It's Brian Flournoy, who is a metatelepath, and it's extremely interesting. I can certainly relate to a lot of what he does, such as bending time. So we are going to have a fabulous time talking about what he does and also his wonderful business and how you could reach him. Welcome, Brian.
Hello, Rochelle. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm really very interested in talking to you because your website at www.metatelepathicclinic.com is very, very interesting in terms of what you do. Can you explain to people exactly what you do?
What metatelepathy is?
Yes.
Okay. Well, metatelepathy is a concept that I and my etherics coined as a shared experience, and I would define it as a point of view regarding energy and the way it manifests being the same way that we experience and integrate life is actually a telepathic process in understanding it. And viewing life experiences as telepathic processes kind of gives a person an opportunity to reframe the experience from an informative standpoint.
Okay, so tell us about telepathic. I think that's interesting. What exactly do you mean by that? Because that in itself describes a different viewpoint from possibly another viewpoint.
Yes.
And what's different about the telepathic viewpoint from, example, other ways of viewing life?
Right. Well, I would say metatelepathic is different from, and I don't like to create the perception of separation. But I honor all telepaths. I would say that putting that prefix on there means that I have an understanding that the way energy and experiences manifest, they don't have a time tense, past, present, or future tense. And energy and experiences really do not share the limited 3D perspective we all collectively create on the earth plane. It exists as it exists and all other planes of awareness. And I've come to view energy and experiencing energy as life experiences as being in an infinity tense, which means when you look at something, an experience or a scenario, much like 4D reality and beyond, you're actually able to see this energy in its original perfect state, this energy as it expresses itself as a scenario and a life experience in a more primitive state, and then the varying dynamic states going towards perfection all at the same time. And that perspective in knowing that everything is moving towards a perfect state gives the intuitive a chance to remove judgment and be more totally accepting of what is being seen, because at the same time you're able to see an aspect of yourself in that information as well.
Okay, so let's get into what that all means in a practical way. So I'm assuming that you're talking about a healing experience that you could use this.
Can you speak up just a little, Rochelle?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm assuming that you're talking about a healing experience or a possible healing experience.
Exactly.
And that you could use this type of viewpoint in order to go either backwards or forwards or
yes.
In the present time in order to heal a particular situation. Can you give us a case in point?
Yeah, okay. That's very key in what you say, because also a very important aspect of metatelepathy is that it's a process that it really is catered to or inherently designed for healing, like you said. And I've come to, let's say, for instance, I was talking to a lady regarding her dog, and she was complaining about some aspects of the dog's personality. that she wanted the behavior to diminish. And so I took a look at the animal as an individual energy, and then I looked at the collective energy group of the animal kingdom on the earth plane, and then I tuned in on the breeding of the dog. And looking at those varying perspectives, I was able to tell her in the final analysis that it would be unfair to ask this dog to stop this behavior because we artificially bred this animal to look this way, and so did some personality and characteristics in the profile of that behavior of the dog get engineered in the DNA. And so it's one of those things that if you don't like a dog that's very playful, then you wouldn't buy a breed that has that characteristic. So it also, it's almost kind of like the prayer, you know, although I don't believe that we are not capable of making changes in every scenario, but we should know what it is that is that we can change and alter, and what we should totally accept and honor as is. And that's what metatelepathy allows. It allows a perspective that says not everything is supposed to be changed in this way at this point in time, but some things are to be allowed to continue as is, as a learning and growing experience. And then it all works into integrating, and then the ultimate healing experience for everyone.
Well, I think that this is fascinating to me because I do somewhat the same type of work that you do, so it's very interesting to me. But what you're talking about to me sounds like you're trying to make discriminations between what should be left as natural and what can be changed or altered for someone's perhaps greater good.
Yes.
So how do you make those kind of discriminatory choices?
Well, what I'll do is, you know, I hate to sound so theoretical, but
go for
looking at the collective consciousness, I get a chance to see how everyone else in the world is viewing an experience and how far along we as a collective group energy-wise have persevered the experience and grown because of it. And then I'll look at the individual to see where they are in terms of involvement. And somewhere in between, you're able to tell whether or not certain situations should be kept the way they are. I also do it by way of communicating with a person's higher self, for instance. The higher self is a great source of information, is, of course, an aspect of the divine self that knows quite clearly everyone's individual plan or path towards perfection, and will honor me with an answer saying, literally, at this time, this is a situation that should be kept as it is for the sake of integrating purposes. And then the healing will take place through self-actualization, which in most instances, when a person gets healed, it is their own experience. And so metatelepathy talks about framing healing in terms of not what I'm imparting onto a person, but what I'm sharing as an experience that helps a person actualize for themselves and be empowered in their own healing.
Now, I want to bring this again back to a case situation, because the first thing that comes to my mind is somebody who's got cancer.
Yes, someone who died of cancer or dying of cancer.
Either somebody who's got cancer and perhaps their ego wants to be healed,
right.
The experience themselves is the particular lesson in terms of clearing whatever needs to be cleared,
right.
That brought on the situation as a teaching tool to begin with.
Right.
So I'm taking a look at that, perhaps a particular situation like that. And can you bring it into a case so that...
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be intimidated by, you know, a scenario like that at all, because I've actually come to understand what real healing is, and healing, it really means resolve. for the individual and acceptance, total acceptance of a circumstance, or to some another degree, true understanding from the heart and mind perspective why this is an important event in his or her life.
Okay, can you give us an example?
I would say...
Without naming names.
I would tell, when I would interact with that patient, believe it or not, the patient's end result would be, I simply understand what this experience is for. And the information that has been shared with me through Brian helps me understand why I need this experience or why I have co-created this experience for my higher good. Even if it means a terminal end, you know, in this present incarnation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It's very interesting to me because to have somebody actually reach that point means to me that you're bringing up information from the unconscious so that they can be conscious of it.
Yes.
And that it just resounds right through the times that you're talking about, past, present, and future, and all the dimensions in a way that really fits for them, that they consciously get what's going on.
Right.
That is awesome.
A great deal of inspiration is generated when the information that surfaced has the quality of healing that resonates with the person. It's a special ability to be able to draw in inspirational energy through information. It is quite fascinating to see a person change and transform because they were able to integrate in the moment of understanding something, really comprehending it.
Now, does it take you a while to tune into your ability, or how does it work for you? The reason why I'm asking is, of course, I have a dog here.
Okay.
Let me tell you about my dog.
Okay.
My dog was a stray dog. She's wonderful. She's in the room with me right now, and she's a beautiful black lab, and she's just precious.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, I believe that she was severely abused. And
okay.
She was kept somewhere, at least for all of her life.
Yeah.
She's about a year old now,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Bachim. And when she was given to me, basically, she wouldn't wag her tail, wouldn't
mm-hmm.
make eye contact, just laid low because she was in a panic situation.
Right.
And that's how she responds, is just by giving up. And she wouldn't even walk.
Right.
So people had to actually pick her up where she lost control over her bowels.
Mm-hmm.
This was the situation that she's in, and she's doing much, much better now.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering if you could possibly tune into her. Or
yes, I could.
Okay.
And we'll do a healing on her, right now.
That would be fabulous.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tune into her for a quick second because, mm-hmm. I have pretty immediate access to it.
Okay.
And because you've given me all the information and it's well-balanced, okay, and I'm feeding it back to her. And literally, I just asked, I said, are you totally trusting of Rochelle right now and that you know you'll never have to worry about that? Are you totally trusting in Rochelle right now that she'll not give you up and you, by default, end up in a similar circumstance? And what she's experiencing yet is, the fear
right.
of being abandoned again. And so I'm interacting with her right now, and I'm sending energy to her right now. And for some reason, animals like she really understand the honesty in my intent. And a lot of animals will view me and say, oh, he's honest, and he's a pretty good psychic, too. I really believe him. And intent carries the energy a long way, along with the insight that comes with being intuitive. And so let me finish. It'll take me about 5 more seconds. Mm-hmm. I'm smiling now because I just said to her, you should not have had to ever worry once Rochelle got a hold of you that life is going to be pretty good for you from here on out. The only concern that she has now is, and I would say this to you, Rochelle, because it's very difficult as humans. We want her to act happy and be enthused, and I'm sharing with her that we're not putting a pressure on her to act happy or enthused, that she has the right to have her own feelings and emotions, and we're not judging her, or she's not going to get a bad grade and then be punished by being returned to the gauntlet. I'm letting her know that she's finally in a position where she's not being judged, and I'm explaining to her that your concern for her is not a type of judgment, and it's not an evaluation of how she interacts with you. And I'm bending it around and making her understand that it's truly your love and concern that she has a good life and that she understands life is going to be good as long as the two of you are together. And so now she sees and she understands the tension that comes from you when you're concerned that she's not happy like she could or should be. Now, you should notice, I'd say, probably by the end of this evening, some changes. It always happens.
Oh, that's wonderful. Can you ask her what happened to her?
Okay, let me ask. Well, what she's showing me, this is strange. Okay, do you have any idea the colors of the other labs in her litter?
No.
No idea? It has something to do with she was not a wanted color.
Huh.
It wasn't. How popular are black labs?
I guess I would think, I don't know, but I would think they're just as popular as any other.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm perceiving. But for some reason, this where she was or where she was bred and birthed, they didn't want that color.
Was she in a puppy mill? That's what's just coming to me right now, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's what's coming very clearly now, is a puppy mill.
Yeah. And for some reason, whoever was involved didn't feel like that particular color was as marketable.
Wow.
And so, you know, she just kind of got pushed to the side. She's just showing me the other colors of labs. And how she's actually showing me, what do you usually see on TV? And I'm saying to her, true, I do tend to see the other various colors of labs on TV. There's an assumption with her. So let me correct that with her. Okay. Do you brush her?
She just got a bath today and was brushed.
Okay. Yeah, she really loves that. It feels kind of like when you do that, it's a process of adoring or adoration.
Mm-hmm.
And she really appreciates that.
Aww.
She really does. She was really treated with tender, loving care.
Yes, we were very tender with her.
And so that's a type of healing there where you just simply remove the last bit of an uncertainty and that everything really is going to be all right.
Wow. Thank you for that. I so appreciate her.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Human beings can be a little more, complicated. in that it's difficult to take a metaphysical standpoint when you're dealing with humans really working in the 3D reality, that we create our own experiences and challenges. But as intuitives, we always have to keep that in mind as a part of the overall experience. It helps us reframe the experience mm-hmm. for the human being. So, because ultimately, healing, the best type of healing only comes when the information that is shared really makes sense, and a person is able to not just simply experience it, but integrate it and kind of understand philosophically why the experience is there and how they're going to become better because of it. It's a tough challenge as a healing facilitator, but the purity of your information, your intent, and the type of energy and the inspiration that's created, co-created by you as a healing facilitator and a client, it makes the mark. It never falls short of what's needed to get the healing process started.
How does that account for the experiences that animals go through? Like, what is that? What is, for example, Fachin's particular lesson?
Can you speak up just a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry. What is Fachin's particular lesson in terms of what she went through?
Okay. Say that question once again, please.
Okay. Because what I'm trying to take a look at is the information that you just shared.
Yes.
And how that applies to other experiences. For example, Fachin's experience.
And whose experience?
Fachin's. Like, how does it apply to Fachin's experience?
The keys?
Fachin's, that's my dog. That's her name.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Just,
that's all right.
Okay, now, can you please... Now, regarding what...
Okay, in terms of what you just said, if
yes.
we take a look at our own experience and if we become conscious of it and
right.
understand it and give it meaning, this is how I interpreted what you just said, that we can gather inspiration because we have conscious understanding of whatever particular lessons that the experience presented in this particular realm.
Right.
And I'm wondering how that would apply to an animal's experience.
Okay. Now, regarding your animal's experience, she's a little, it was so traumatic that, it was so traumatic that she's not really necessarily in a position to appreciate it now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I sent to her is kind of like a time release energy. And what it's going to do is disseminate over a brief period of time after this conversation, once her anxiety
mm-hmm.
of is gone, that it will happen to her again. She will come to understand something like, this needed to happen in order, in proper sequence, in order for me to get to Rochelle.
Aww. God bless her.
Right.
And God bless you for that information.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And was she dumped?
I'm sorry, please?
Was she dumped?
Let me see. I just asked her that, and she's saying more like gross neglect.
Huh, wow.
Like gross neglect. I don't get the feeling, you know, that she was ever discarded and completely separated from sustaining resources, but there was an extreme sense of isolation and neglect.
Yeah, that would be very true. God bless her.
Right.
All right.
And then finally,
mm-hmm.
as you know, everything exists in a continuum. the reason why she's in your life. You, the two of you, from a metaphysical standpoint, are co-creating this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a contract created on the other side before the two of you met, that these were the things that were going to happen to bring the two of you together. Now, I'm watching you, Rochelle, be caught in the moment and in the trauma of her tragedy, and I feel like I'm in a position to remind you, as a colleague, that you created this, she created it, you created it together. And so that's another level of enlightenment through reminding on a different level. So when you look at each other from this point on, you can kind of say to each other, we co-created this. We did a good job, didn't we?
Aww.
And the love that's going to be created and that's being manifested between the two of you is an energy that will have a wonderful impact in the etheric and astral planes, because that's why we're here on Earth, to evolve under special circumstances and to create experiences that create a rarefied type of love energy that does wonderful things in other planes of awareness.
That is wonderful. Thank you. And I just so agree with that in terms of love and connection. I went to see Maya Angelou last night.
Oh.
And talk about connection.
It was
just that, and you're absolutely right. It's all about love, and it's about that connection, because it has that timeless healing quality.
Yes.
That is just so divine.
Yes.
Wow. So I want to talk about some of the other things that you do. Now, can you explain to people, do you have a clinic? Is it an internet clinic, or is it
It's an internet clinic.
Okay. What exactly do you do? Is it a teaching clinic?
Yes, it's a teaching clinic. It's a clinic that, you know, on the internet, that is going to evolve to be also a resource of information, internet clinic that allows other people to network. People who are of this mindset that all information is accessible to everyone at all times, but the best type of perceived information will always be available to those who want to access it and be co-creative with others and create situations on Earth that will benefit the highest good of the planet. And that kind of information would be useful for research in science and technology, finding new ways to build things and do things without so much pollution and damage to the planet, how to heal the planet, how to neutralize the present atmospheric stress we've placed on our planet, unique intuitive ways for human beings to connect with each other, to rediscover their connection with the etheric world on the other side, while still staying well-grounded human beings and living through the human experience and evolving the way that we should. And then most importantly, being intuitively creative enough to understand the self, and most importantly, having a sense of self-purpose and knowing what we're all here to do individually and collectively, and have very happy and fulfilling lives as we help and teach and learn from each other.
Okay.
So the clinic is meant to be a facilitator of all of that by just bringing like minds together, exchanging information and experiences.
Okay. So let me see if this is correct. Is there an assumption in what you're saying that everyone could read energy?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a God given from the source. It's our natural human condition.
Yes.
To be able to interact and read energy and know what it is.
Yes.
Okay. And then from that perspective, you can create with the energy.
Yes.
That you intend to be in or be.
Yes. Because energy, all energy, has its own intelligence, from the subatomic level all the way up to the molecular level to a brick in a building level. and everything, all energy and matter, because matter is energy, everything is going to perfection, and it has an intelligence that directs it towards that goal. But we're here on Earth to co-creatively evolve together as a system, not as individuals. And so the key with metatelepathy also is understanding how important it is that we as a collective group seek to understand energy, how it manifests, the way we experience life. And energy basically is kind of like a common denominator, or the currency of exchange, if you will. It's the one thing that ties everything together in the most basic sense. And so if we can read and understand and perceive all things as energy, and understand that it's all-encompassing energy, that we'll all get a better perspective, a better understanding of how we're to interact with it, and like you said, co-create with it, and bring, so to speak, the kingdom of God on earth while we're here, co-creating and evolving.
Now, I wanted to bring this down again to a place where perhaps, because you and I are fairly able to understand energy, because it sounds like you've been doing this for a while. And I've been doing this for a few years.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering about perhaps somebody who may not have a sense of what we're talking about,
okay,
and about energy.
Okay.
So let's say somebody is just coming into your clinic,
uh-huh,
and they have a fairly concrete perspective on life, and they are looking at life from a perspective of the external,
mm-hmm,
and the external is what creates.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is that energy creates from the internal.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you even begin to approach somebody who may not be familiar with these kinds of concepts?
I would say something like, well, light, for instance, you know, we all use light energy to see. Light, you know, is everywhere. It bounces off of the things that we see, and it goes into our eyes, and we're able to create an impression in the mind, you know, through the way light energy interacts with us physiologically. And we can all see, those of us who have sight, but we all have varying aspects of visual acuity, and some people can see clearer, and some people see more dynamic colors than others. And so we go to, let's say, an optometrist, and the optometrist tests our vision. And let's say we're using light as an example of energy, which is, light is energy. You'll walk out with a pair of glasses whose lenses will take the light energy and bend it in a unique way, so that what you view is what is considered clear in comparison to how everyone else is seeing things. So I would talk about energy in terms of perhaps light, and how we need light energy in order to perceive, but we all have varying focus, varying focus factors, and that it can be, we can improve upon it, but it's understood that we're all sensitive to it. We can all perceive it. And then to take it perhaps even a step further, when you see things better, then life becomes more enjoyable. If you're sitting and you're looking, and you're sitting next to someone who just got a brand new pair of glasses, and you say, what a beautiful view that is. And now the person with new glasses can say, you know, I couldn't say it, could not have said that yesterday, but it is true. It is a beautiful view, and life is better because of it. I can see things more clearly. And so it creates another experience on a different level of appreciation.
Now, do you bring people into this kind of awareness with experiential exercises?
Yes, yes. It's inevitable. I really can't say what does the trick, but it always happens. And usually when I get together with a group of people, we all have great anticipation, and great and wonderful things happen right in our midst just because we consciously choose to co-create experiences that expand our consciousness. It always happens.
Awesome. Can you give us some examples?
Yeah.
I love these kinds of stories.
Yeah. I was doing something with a yoga instructors group a month or so ago, and we wanted to do a brief exercise on energy. And I've got a friend that I do creative work with, and he had been I read his body energy, and his body energy said that tell your friend, I'll give him a name, tell Bob that he's got to stop eating so much processed food, or we, the collective body, will begin to retaliate.
Uh-huh.
And he did, and he didn't believe me at first, and then he had some reactions, and they got a little more severe. And in the interim, I went to this group of yoga instructors, and I said, I'm going to create the energy of my friend Bob, and I brought it down with the help of the etherics and held it in my hands, and I passed the energy around. I directed everyone to hold the energy and pass it to the next person, to feel it, to look into it, and perceive it and sense it, and pass it on then to the next person. So it went around the room, and I finally got it back, and then I neutralized it. And I gave a series of questions asking people to give their original, their impressions on the energy. And I asked, for instance, I said, what do you think is going on physiologically with the energy from the subject that we're sampling? And they all put down either the stomach, or some aspect of the GI tract, and then the other 75% said the heart. And interestingly enough, I knew nothing of Bob's heart condition, but he went into the hospital, let's say, 2 days ago after having processed restaurant food. He's finally convinced that he shouldn't have processed food anymore. And what was noticed by the emergency room physician was a rapid heart rate that was a little irregular as well. And so I was able to email the group just 2 days ago, by the way, guys, 75% of you perceived that there was an issue with the heart. One of the women who had heart in her impression, also, I asked her, I said, what made you choose heart? And she says, well, heart for some reason is connected with my mother, and my mother died of colitis. I says, okay, well, colitis, that's a GI disorder, and so that's connected. The heart and the mother is connected also because my friend lost his mother at a young age, as she did. And so the dynamic, you know, it's interesting in that when you look at the information that is revealed, inspiration and the creative use of intuition helps people validate all of their intuitive impressions. It helps people understand their process and how everything really does relate back to the question being asked. And that it's only by conscious choice that we validate our mental impressions as valid telepathic information that can be used for practical purposes, to get information to help resolve issues, to, you know, and now we're going to use this energy. I'm going to create for my friend Bob a menu of types of foods and say, this is too processed. You can't eat from Kentucky Fried Chicken, but you can eat from, you know, Tyson. And, you know, it's that type of experience. It's always unique. It's always about the creative, intuitive use of intuition and creativity, because a lot of times we don't know when to apply intuition. We feel that we should use our logic up to a certain point and then apply intuition, where the reality is that intuition is a valid tool to be used for guidance at every phase of question answering, and that we shouldn't pressure ourselves to have to figure anything out. We're not copping out. We're not being lazy. We're tapping into the divine higher part of ourselves. And that's also what metatelepathy is about. It's about embracing intuition and the divine self for practical guidance in day-to-day living, as well as helping, you know, other people heal and feel better and have better lives.
Now, can you tell us about your process? How did you come to know that you could read energy?
How did I come to know?
Right.
You know, that's an interesting question. I think I came to know when I started manifesting things that I said. Or if I said something, then it happened. And then I started asking the question that all intuitives ask, am I merely seeing the future, or am I manipulating it and bringing things into manifestation? And it was upon that critical point and juncture that I understood I was interacting with energy in a more dynamic way, not just predicting the way it's going to turn out, but actually playing a part in the way that it's developing and unfolding right now as I fixate on it and impress upon it a desire for a good outcome, for a higher purpose. If case scenarios, things happening, a friend saying, I really wish this would resolve, and then I would say, it's going to resolve, and it's going to resolve within this time period, and then it happens. And that happens over and over again, and then I made the connection that it has to do with faith, pure intent, and whether or not the person who's going through an experience is really ready to let go. And a good intuitive is able to test the waters and know when a condition is about to change, when it should change, and when to impart his or her own energy to help facilitate and push it over the edge.
Hmm. How wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that is just it's very sophisticated.
I hope it doesn't sound too complicated.
I think it's very sophisticated, and I think rightfully so. It has to be a very sophisticated process. So I'm really very appreciative of the sophisticated art that you're presenting to myself and the audience, because I think it's needed. I think those kinds of processes and discrimination and depth that you're talking about.
Right.
Huh?
Yes, you're right. And you know, oftentimes I ask my etherics, I say, you know, well, really, it's all been said before, you know. What is there yet to discuss? And they say to me, it's not that it hasn't been contemplated. Well, it's been happening all the time, and a good intuitionist or those who are practicing or meditating to develop their intuition, everyone is embarking upon the same process, and we're all going to kind of do it the same way. But they helped me take a creative approach to looking at it so that I could relay it to people.
Is this your guide you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Who's your guide?
Well, I've got a main one, and he's my grandfather on my mother's side, and he passed when she was six, so she never really knew him. And I came to know him beginning in my early 30s, about 9 years ago, after being told over and over again by psychics and mediums who he was, and that he was playing a big role in my life. And so he's my main gatekeeper, so to speak, but there's a whole host of, and it's, I guess I might as well go on and say it, because a couple of yours popped by. So, like, if I'm going to interact with someone, they'll come by and just kind of give some energy in a very, vibration, harmonic energy that's, you know, not anything in particular, but it aligns me up with you, and I understand better.
Those guys are busy over there.
They are. Yeah.
Who did you see, Brian?
I'm sorry? Who did I?
Yeah, who popped by?
Okay, let me look a little more closely at. Well, okay. You know, they're funny because she said, you tell her, you say it the way you see it. And it's a red-haired female, that is presenting herself to me.
Must be Dora.
Do you know her?
Yeah. That's Dora, I think.
Yeah. And I like her a lot. Mm-hmm. She has a fiery personality, and she is a very, very strong aspect of yourself. It's kind of funny because she almost makes me feel like she's your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how sometimes it never fails to amaze me that each time I look at an etheric or a guide and how they relate or interrelate with their human, it's never really the same. I always get a different impression and how they connect with their human. So I've never seen this exact same type of interaction more than once in any scenario.
Hmm.
And I've actually had guides change personas on a human and not tell the human being that they did so. And one woman I was teaching said, well, why would she do that? And I said, because who you knew her as when she was alive is not the role she wants to play in your life from this point on. She wants to be your joy guide from now on. And you only knew her as a serious person when she was alive in the earth plane. So she literally changed personas on you. So it's a lot of very interesting dynamic things that happen. But then you got to remember, as human beings, we're co-creating the experience as well. And I had to ask, can I tell her that you're the same as this guide that she feels exited her life at this point? And she said, yeah, you can tell her that I'm the same person.
Huh.
I just wanted to play a different role in her involvement, and I knew her memory of me when I was alive wouldn't allow it.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. A lot of fun. It's very interesting.
She is a lot of fun. Your grandfather came in like a rhinoceros, by the way. That's what he feels like to be.
Yeah, you know, they say he's big, you know, magnanimous, big energy. You know, but kind and down to earth. I've heard that description of him. You know, I walk around literally, you know, all day. Yeah, really? That's funny. You mean she really thought that? And then, you know, I'm getting the unfolding of events that took place 3 months ago. You know, it's a constant flow of information. I'm getting the joke 3 months later, you know, but it's all in good fun. And metatelepathy, again, means that I'm still grounded and that I refuse to integrate the information and my ability to interact in the etheric world as anything called supernatural or extraordinary. I don't use supernatural anymore or supernormal or paranormal anymore. Those are not really a part of my vernacular because it's really all natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's understood that for the most part, if we're going to be on Earth living real life Earth experiences and evolving under the stress of 3D perspective, we shouldn't be bombarded spontaneously with information from the etheric world. It would defeat the purpose. But for some of us who've worked our way through the experiences to a degree where we have adequately reminded ourselves who we are and why we're here, we get the unique, humble privilege to remind the others who haven't quite gotten there yet or are right there waiting for someone to say the thing that really brings it all back for them as well. And that's what the workshop, Making It All Click, is about, that I'm promoting over all of the other lectures right now. It's about bringing everything together and me forcing every participant to have to admit, without skepticism, that it's all connected, we're all connected, and you can use it as proficiently as you give yourself permission, with the understanding that you're going to do it co-creatively with others and share the information and make sure that it's going to be for the highest good. Under those circumstances, it happens, and then it keeps happening, becomes a constant dynamic experience. And most people would say that a workshop is a life-changing event because of it.
So where is your workshop, and when is it going to be?
Well, right now, I don't have a set place. It's really been conceived by myself and the guides for me to go where people are.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you go on the site, it just simply sets the stipulations as, well, you need to pay for Brian's travel and expenses, have around 20 people that are interested to commit to the course experience, and if you've got a facility to house it, then everyone pays half, and the agent who gets it all together has an extra reduced fee, and the person who actually provides the housing for the event pays nothing at all. It really wasn't meant to be a fixed stationary workshop. It was designed for me to go where people are.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, so, you know.
So tell us all, in case we missed something, anything else about your services that you want people to know?
What would I?
Bending time.
I'm sorry?
Bending time.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last thing.
Bending time. I know that you do that.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, come with an open mind and you know, the etherics are making me say this. They're telling me that I am what you can call a magician or a manifester.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it just simply means, and I know you know what it means, it's someone who brings to him or herself the human being with a circumstance that's ripened, karma, ready to unfold, that's fully developed in the astral plane, ready to manifest in the physical plane, and we have the right chemistry to work together to really make it happen in real terms in the physical world. And what happens is the person who would come to me for, you know, some intuitive advice and as well as a boost of energy for the situation to unfold understands that it happens first from the way you view the circumstance. And it's very magical, it's very powerful, and things really happen. And it's because we all co-created that way. I don't know what I did in past lives to have such a wonderful impact on energy and circumstances in people's lives, but whatever it is I did, it must be pretty good. It's something I can't relate to right now because I'm here, but I do understand I can help in this way, and so I really do invite people who want to make certain things happen, and they know for sure it's a higher purpose action, give me a call, and then the intuitive guidance and the energy in combination will get it to happening.
Can you give out your phone number and also your website again?
Yeah. The phone number is 419-260-2195, and the site address is www.TheMetaTelepathicClinic.com. And metatelepathic is one word, M-E-T-A-T-E-L-E-P-A-T-H-I-C. And there's a hyphen. So it's the hyphen, metatelepathic hyphen clinic.com.
Okay, wonderful. And that phone number again?
Is 419-260-2195.
Brian, this has been an absolute pleasure, and I really thank you for coming on. You are extremely knowledgeable.
Oh, thank you.
And I just appreciate, obviously, the depth of your own process that brought you to this point.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
All the work that you've done. It's clearly appreciated by me, because I can
thank
see
you.
It.
Thank you so much.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And I'll have you on again.
Yes.
And let's see. And, folks, we are going to have Adrian on next week, and have host Kim Arndt will be with us because I will be on vacation. But she's going to be very interesting because she is a Jungian analyst who will be analyzing your dreams. So pay attention to that. That's going to be very interesting. She's also going to be talking about soulmate relationships. So stay tuned for the Don and Wynn Show, and I just appreciate everyone and everyone out there, and thanks to Don, our wonderful producer. God bless him, and Doug,
yes.
God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And also you too, Brian, and
oh, thank
the
you.
Team says
same
thank
to you.
You. And you all take care. Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.